Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have given us. With just a little reflection, we can see how our life is filled with abundance, and we have the promise of a heavenly, eternal life with you and your amazing love for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Lord, the events of our days are sometimes so ordinary that we want more excitement. And other times, the events of our days are so busy and full that we are just so glad to have a little calm in our life. Each day, we have a variety of things, and we thank you for that variety. Oh, this is the month of May, and what if each time we saw or said the word May, what if we had a little prayer that went something like this? Oh, Lord, may you fill us with thanksgiving and fill us with you, Lord, and the thanks that we have for all that we have. Well, our lives certainly do have very much variety in them, and it goes from wonderful to worrisome because we have lots in our life. Sometimes I get very concerned for the things in our world, like the wars of any kind. I think of the war zones and the people in them in Africa or in Indonesia, where if you were a Christian, you could easily be beaten or killed. And then I think of China, where there are the Uyghur Muslims and the Christians and just all sorts of people who can get put into a camp where they have zero rights, none, not for anything. So there's persecution going on all over the world for many different races and many different religions, including Christianity. And I think we could have a lot of prayer for the Christians in the world that are persecuted. And let us pray for those Christians to have a strong personal saving relation with Jesus Christ. Of course, I think about the things in our own country and the things that are troubles, and we pray for those too. We pray for those war-torn countries like Ukraine, and I think it's so interesting how our politicians want to spend so much money on a country that we have no real agreement with. We send them $8 or $10 billion here and another $80 billion over there. That gets to be a lot of money. And I just kind of wonder if our politicians are trying to bankrupt us or if they are trying to put us into World War III, because these things are all, well, they're at play. There are tensions and things are going on. Do you remember in our history how our founding fathers wanted America to stay out of the wars of Europe? And I think of how people have said in the past that the first casualty of war is truth. And if you look around, what is going on? Is truth being diminished? I mean, look at you. Maybe you've heard about the mass graves, and one in particular in Ukraine, how it was containing hundreds of civilian bodies. Well, that turned out to be an old cemetery. And maybe you've heard how Miss Ukraine took up a rifle and was ready to fight in the streets of Ukraine. Well, that was actually a photoshopped photo of her with a rifle. It's just all very interesting when we have to examine what really is true. Oh, we've heard that Russia targeted and bombed a maternity ward at a hospital. Well, that turned out to be an untruth. It's just we have to be careful of what we hear and what we believe. And there's just all sorts of things. Maybe you've heard about the hundreds of tons of grain that was stolen from Ukrainian silos. Well, that apparently did happen. Maybe you heard about the 28 vehicles that were stolen from a John Deere dealer in, Petropol, Ukraine. And it was like $5 million of equipment stolen. But that equipment, the expensive pieces, had a GPS locator in them, and they were kept from starting. So those pieces of expensive equipment were abandoned by the thieves. Well, there's just things going on, and we have to really search out what is true and untrue, because there are plenty of unanswered questions, including questions about what is going on with that biolab in the Ukraine that was funded by the U.S. What was going on in it? Nobody knows. And Russia did, it is reported that Russia leveled that biolab in Ukraine that U.S. was funding. We just have things that are going on so many thousands of miles away, and we watch them so closely. But we also have to closely watch the old men in Washington, D.C., who are all right with sending our children and our grandchildren to war to die on foreign soil. I think of George Washington when he gave his farewell address. That was like 1797. He warned this country not to get involved in the foreign wars of Europe. And what have we done? We've disregarded his advice. And apparently people don't even know about George Washington's farewell address. Why? We just don't learn things. Our schools don't teach our founding history or the founding fathers, hardly any of it. And why? I'm just thinking of Thomas Jefferson. He said something about our children winding up homeless in a continent that their forefathers settled. That was said, but he said it just a little different. You know, we always get a concern when we quote this or quote that, because most of the time there is something more to it than what we quote. And if you look at the Bible scriptures that people quote, same thing. There's more to that one verse. There's a paragraph that we just kind of forget. About that Thomas Jefferson quote, what it was saying was that, if we are not careful, the banks and the corporations that grew up around the future generations will deprive the people of all property until the children wake up homeless on the continent that their forefathers settled. So, yeah, how come we don't know that quote? We know a lot of things about our history, including how the founding fathers really didn't believe in God. That's has been said in several school books, but they did believe in God. And if you just would read some of their writings, it would be so obvious that they believed in God. No doubt about it. Well, the founding fathers were concerned about being a Christian nation, and they were concerned with, for instance, our money turning into worthless money. And they were concerned about having a central bank, which is really what that Thomas Jefferson quote was about. And the central bank, our Federal Reserve, has allowed inflation to go on for the last 100 years. The rate has been at about 3% per year. And what that means is 100 years ago, you could buy $100 worth of goods for a $100 bill. But that same $100 bill, through inflation, will only buy $5 worth of goods today. It's amazing. A 95% loss if your investment was in currency. So we have to figure out how to put our money in places where it will hold its value. And even that's not certain at all. Now, I remember my dad telling me about the Bank of America, which, at the time in 1928, when he was quite young, it was the Bank of Italy before it was the Bank of America. Anyway, he went into that bank and they pressured him to buy some stock in the Bank of Italy, which he did. He bought that stock and the stock tumbled in the 1929 stock market fall and depression. And he just wasn't willing to take a loss on something that he bought. So he held on to that stock until 1951. So that was 20 plus years after the stock market collapse, before it recovered. So stock can go up and down, and that's exactly what he was trying to tell me when he told me that story. And we have to be careful about our economy, because it can go up and down too. Everything can. Even though right now we see the inflation going on, we are in a serious situation. And there's other serious situations too, with our food prices going up, and the food supply is apparently in a kind of a crash. When you think of the last few months, the production, food production plants have been destroyed, and so has a large amount of food been destroyed in those plants. What's gone on? We have lost, a dozen or two dozen, depending on how far back you go in time. And we are concerned with why those plants were destroyed. And is there, when people come in and wreck it, that has been a question of if there were even Russian saboteurs that were doing this. It's not something we really know, but I'm sure that in the course of time, we will find out what did happen to those food processing plants and the hundreds of thousands of pounds of food in those plants that were lost. That was a big loss. And today there are countries that recognize that we have a food shortage. And therefore, the countries that produce food, many of them are no longer willing to export their food because they realize they will need it for their own population to eat. So we have things going on in our world and in our country, and we are certainly trying to understand all of it, including the high prices of everything. Now, America has had food for such a long time that we regular people don't even think about us not having food. But it can happen. And this is a reason to have some food storage. Now, is our food supply being attacked because of a spiritual reason? Well, I see it that way. I do. And I think of Ezekiel 14:13, where it tells us that when a country has persistent unfaithfulness, then God will cause a famine in the land, and there will be no bread to eat. Well, I hope you look over any quotes that I give you that are from Scripture, because you always will learn more if you read it yourself and ask God to give you understanding. But we can never forget that we are in a spiritual battle. And people have talked about this before. I know one of the people who, it's not that I like him, but I listen to him, is Russ Dizdar, he's gone to his next life now, but he talked about how there were spiritual forces in the United States that wanted to cause the destruction and downfall of the United States, that there were people who already were put into high places to cause that destruction. There were very dark forces going on in the United States for quite a few decades, many decades. And there are people that really do want to attack and destroy our country and the systems in our country which have made a wonderful modern lifestyle. And so much, we just don't even see it. We, the American, average American citizen, we just don't grasp that it is going on, and we don't grasp how there could be any force or any evil that wants to destroy what we have. But that's the nature of our minds. We don't want to look at the evil, and I don't blame anybody for that. But we should know that there are evil forces that are working in the whole world and in America to destroy the good things. And in the past, there have been people who have recognized this, and they call those forces of destruction communist and communistic. But I don't mean to get political. It's just that it is a reality of this battle between good and evil, or between communism and capitalism, freedom and slavery. They're quite opposite in their goals and objectives, but we have that to deal with. We really do. It's good to be aware of. And that's about the best we can do, and recognize that it is an enemy force that wants to cripple and destroy the America and the godliness in America that we have. Oh, but so often we are innocent to it. Oh, yes, and I was for the first decades of my life. I was just completely innocent as to how evil things were. And if we don't know, it's easy to ignore or to not believe that such evil and hatred really exists. But it does exist. And historically, we have had a nice, wonderful society. Another thing that's kind of been historical is we have hired, let's call them sheriffs, or we've hired some really dangerous people to fight the evil that is in our society and to keep that evil away from our normal family and normal business life. That's just the way that it's gone. And so that's been a part of our history. We have a question of how to deal with it today. I think the first step to do is to recognize that there really is this evil that exists. We hear about it from Christians who, or pastors and priests who have an occasion to deal with a person that has been evil. They may have been an evil person that repented. They may have been just a missionary, for instance, who has been exposed to dark magic or that kind of evil in another country. I know once upon a time I have dealt with military people, and they recognize that there is an evil. Often they are terrorists who want to inflict suffering upon a land or a people. Well, all these things have worked to take away my innocence and to recognize that there is an evil in the world that wants to destroy our peace and comfort and our way of life. And that's something which if we're not aware that this even exists, well, we just don't even look at it. But I think it's all right to look at, to realize that it exists, and that we want to uphold God's goodness in life, and we want to promote God's goodness and the way of Jesus Christ, including our eternal life with Jesus. So this is a part of what we have to recognize so that we're able to combat that evil, because we just want peace and comfort. We do. And we want our young children to enjoy peace and comfort in their childhood, at least. So these are all some of the forces that are going on in our society and in our life. And we get to stand for one side or the other. And if we do nothing, we are standing for the opposition, the evil side, because if we don't oppose evil, it will grow. And we do have all sorts of tensions in the world that are going on. I'm just thinking about another tension that has been building between the United States and Russia. And there's a similar tension between Russia and the United Kingdom. A few days ago, the British Foreign Secretary said that Russia will be held accountable and Russia will be called to justice. Well, this was a few days after the Russian state-sponsored TV showed a simulation, you know, a computer-generated a nuclear attack on Great Britain, well, London, Paris, and Berlin, and it showed the grim effects of nuclear war. So that was going on Russian state-sponsored TV. Are we getting ready for a nuclear war in World War III? Well, there are forces that want that kind of destruction, and we need to be aware of the evil that goes on in the world. As I'm thinking about that, that TV-sponsored show, Russian state TV-sponsored show about nuclear war on Great Britain, Paris, and Berlin. Well, it reminded me of Henry Gruber. He was a pastor, who has had prophetic visions in his life. And because of his extraordinary experiences, which certainly indicate that God had a hand in his life, he has had a reputation of being a prophetic person. So that's why I bring up his name. Oh, and also because of one of the prophetic visions he had. Oh, now this was probably 30 years ago, where the people of England were being shot down by the Russians. Well, it was a vision. Was it true? Was it not true? I don't really know what to say about that, but it was a reminder in my own thinking of that Henry Gruber vision. So here we are. I'm thinking about it again because of the Russian TV broadcast. Does that mean it'll happen? No, but always things can happen. And so I kind of pay attention to those people who seem to be so connected with God, and these things happen. But we regular people, we are left to try to figure things out, and we don't have all the information. And so we just have to do things that are sensible to our own way of thinking, as we recognize that we are in a spiritual war, and that it is wise to prepare for the spiritual war that is always taking place around us. And there are different people who, of course, have different ideas, and they have different ways to prepare. Well, that's the advantage of being a community. As a community, we prepare in different ways, and we help one another. So I think we have to remember God in all of this. And a part of remembering God is to remember the great commandment in Matthew 22:38. Briefly, that is to say, love God and love your neighbor. I always say read them yourself, because when you pray to God and you ask him for understanding, he gives you more understanding than just some guy who tells you that's what the great commandment is, like I'm doing. We always get so much more out of Scripture if we read it ourselves and we ask God for understanding. So that's what I always will ask you to do when you hear Scripture, whether it's from me or anyone else. It's always a good thing to do. So we get to find a balance as we go through life of recognizing the spiritual and the physical world and the struggle that is going on in both spiritual and physical. And we get to see what goes on, well, with everything. And if you look at the economy, that's a struggle. Even nowadays, oh, it's interesting because in the home industry, let's call it real estate industry, there are thousands of people being laid off because the industry is slowing down. And that points to a slowing economy. I mean, it's just so clear to me. But you go ahead and look for yourself and see what you think. Well, with a slowing economy, we still have to figure out how we are going to get prepared to deal with any of the struggles that might come along. Of course, spiritual, but also physical. And I think about the simple preparedness that we each can do, whether it is having plain old water and a water filter, or some food, which is the basic food that lasts a long time. And it is having the warmth that we will need to make it through a time when if our electricity is off, we will have warmth. Not easy, but all these things, I think of what are the simple and the least expensive ways to do it. I do think of food supplements, and that's always a good thing. And somehow we all get to struggle through this question of what do we actually do? Well, I think it's better if you search it out and find out what your own ideas are, because those are the ideas that you will actually do, actually plan and follow through with. It's a lot harder to follow through with ideas that somebody tells you to do, because somehow we just don't like to do what we're told like that anyway. So go buy what you need to survive, and then you figure out what it's going to be, how you're going to store it, and how much all these things are going to cost. But I think the most important thing is that you find something and do it. Even if it's the most basic, least expensive things, at least you have something. In case, I think of the lockdowns in China, in Shanghai, how there were millions of people that were forbidden to leave their houses or apartments. They could not leave for weeks. Now, if that ever happened because we had a coronavirus here or some other serious epidemic, and we had to stay in our house for weeks, or there were, the martial law would take us and put us into a camp someplace. And that's what it was like in China. If there were people who left their houses, they would be placed into a camp or a group house or something. So that's another reason that we would want to have supplies on hand before there is a shortage, for instance. I know I remember hearing this from long ago. It is better to prepare a year too early than a day too late. So true. Better to be prepared before there is an urgent need, and what you want is hard to find. Well, we can only guess what the future of our world will be and the future of our society. But you know, there are questions going on in the world. Oh, you remember some months back, there were 100 container ships off the coast of California waiting to be unloaded? Well, a few days ago, a local Southern California news channel said that there were now 140 container ships off the coast of California waiting to be unloaded. What do you think that means? Well, it means we're not going to get the supplies that we want in short order, and we certainly don't understand why the delays are taking as long as they are. I do not understand, I certainly don't, why the container ships can't be unloaded more rapidly. I guess I could also ask if there was a nefarious purpose for why these delays were happening, what would it be? Why? Is it to cause harm to the American people? What harm could there be? And we really don't know that. But if we don't have the material goods that we need, yes, it is harm, and it is trouble, and it means that we're going to have difficulties. It certainly does. I do remember that there will be changes, and that's something that happens in the world. There will always be changes, and that's the reason why we cling to that which never changes. What never changes is God. The God of the Bible through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That can be our stable spot in the difficulties of life. God in His Bible give us examples about how to live and what to expect. And I do think that of the examples of our Old Testament heroes, which show us that through faith we can overcome, well, just about everything, even the giants of those days. Oh, yeah. About a dozen years ago, there was a movie called Facing the Giants, and I thought, yeah, we go through things, and through faith and with prayer, we can have success in dealing with what goes on. It's human success. It's spiritual success. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about the end time things which have happened in the life of the American Christian archaeologist Ron Wyeth. Well, in his life, he had a lot of things that he found out about. And apparently, God made these discoveries happen with him, so that they would be available for the end times. And are we in the end times? Well, of course we are. Ever since Jesus was put on the cross, they're end times. But these days now, and these years now, are really getting close to the end of the age. And that's something that we can puzzle over and try to understand so that we can see what we need to do and how we need to live. Because there are things coming in, they are in effect for, well, I see it as the beast system. We are having the framework of the beast system be put into effect. And that's something which we as Christians can be aware of as we seek things and look at the central bank digital currency that is now being studied. In fact, in other countries, it has been put into effect. But the United States is now studying the matter and to see what blockchain technology will do. And one thing that will do is make it so that every single one of us has complete surveillance on us, and it's done in different ways, but it is there through cameras, it is there through our National Security Agency, the NSA, we are so completely surveilled that there's no hiding from it. We are known, and certainly if you're a Christian, it is all known, all of it. There is a complete record of everything we've spoken over the phone, everything we have bought over a computer or with a credit card. There's no getting away from the system. We are in the system, and we are a known quantity. The artificial intelligence has identified each and every one of us. There's nothing we can do to get out of it, and that's for sure. So, what do? We live faithfully to God for the amount of years that we have left. And another thing that we do is that we refuse to take the mark when that beast system comes into place. And you know that anyone who accepts the mark of the beast will spend eternity in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. That's in Revelation chapter 20. There's a couple of places, something like 10 and 40. That talk about what will happen if we take the mark of the beast. So we have to figure out a way to not take the mark of the beast. And for some of us, that will be to get out of the surveillance system or to never go into it, if that's even possible. I don't know. It might not be possible, and then we just have to live faithfully as Christians. Well, the beast system is not fully operational now, but the system is being set up. And if we don't know it, we certainly cannot understand what it would take to to not be involved in it. But very clearly, we are seeing the structure of the beast system being put into place to snare us today. One of the snares, yes, is the World Wide Web, the spider web of the beast system, well, in my thinking. And another thing that is being set up right now is called the Disinformation Governance Board. And that is done under the Department of Homeland Security. The Homeland Security has been said to have the largest storage of ammunition of any bureaucratic federal agency. We can puzzle why. We don't understand, but we do know that there are indications of things going on in a system that is prepared to trap and contain us, as it were, in a web. Yeah, the World Wide Web. Well, certainly, there's things we don't understand, but we do see the indicators. And this thing that is under the authority of the Homeland Security, which is the Disinformation Governance Board, is gaining strength and importance. The Disinformation Governance Board has been said that its purpose is to combat and fight terrorism and the threat of any misleading information. And misinformation in online contact, which undermines public trust in the United States government institutions by domestic or international means. So, yes, including, even if the information is true, if it undermines public trust in government institutions, it will not be allowed. It's something that's going on right now in our life, and we get to greatly understand what it is that is influencing and legally making a mark in our lives so that we get to see what is going to go on. It just astounds me. I'm so astounded that Homeland Security has this disinformation governance board, again, that forbids distrust, which will undermine public trust in government institutions. Well, I know that other countries are very concerned about that, and pretty much those other countries are totalitarian countries, and they are tyrannies. It's something which I don't know why we have that in the United States, but it sure is here. It's now official, and there's a lot of people defending it, and a lot of people are opposing it. We will have to see what happens in time as to if it really takes effect and what its effect will be on the people and on the government. I don't know. I just know that it's a big concern for what they say it will be. I even get concerned with my broadcasts on Christ Today. Will the artificial intelligence be able to pick up a few words here and a few words there and say that this person is undermining public trust in the U.S. government? And if that's true, then that disinformation board would be looking after me. And if you listen online, you would be have a mark on your record also. It's a very vast thing, and there's no getting out of it because of the blockchain technology that ties us to everything, here and there and everything. Throughout history, there have been people that have been killed when they did not go along with the public demands, let's call them. I mean, just look at Daniel chapter 3. Everyone was called to worship the image that the king put up, and if they didn't worship the image, they would be killed. That was the Jewish people and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they refused to worship the image, they were thrown into the fire. And we know that in Rome, there were countless Jews who were killed when they refused to worship the Caesar of Rome. And in Nazi Germany, there were so many who were killed when they refused to say, Heil Hitler! It was a common greeting. And if you didn't do it, you were marked. So I can only guess who will be marked by this system. Certainly, the Christians eventually will be, and we have to just have a little patience to see how it works out. But we ought to be saying something about it while we can. After all, we are still free in America, and we have a voice. Have you used your voice lately to talk to the people who make the laws? Well, it would probably be a good idea to do that. And do it before the consequences actually hit you, because we're still free and able to speak up. But, as I said, the end times are apparently upon us, and we must seriously think about what we are going to do to stay free in the midst of, the restrictions that are coming our way. I do think of the things that are going on with the Bible discoveries that are happening just nowadays. They really are. They are happening now, and that's a part of what I'm going to talk about with Ron Wyeth, because these things were for the latter days. I think of Matthew 24:38, that in the days of Noah it shall be. So shall it be as when the Son of Man, Jesus, returns. And Luke 17:28, in the days of Lot, so shall it be when Jesus returns. Now, read those passages yourself. I really shortened them, but if you read them yourself, you will get a fuller understanding of what God intends by those passages. Well, we do have indications that life will go along normally until it doesn't. And we have indications that there will be pharmakia in the land. And pharmakia includes witchcraft. It includes the fallen ones or the giants. All those things are indications that we could have those events in the last days. And pharmakia is everywhere. When you think about the drugs that we take or the fentanyl that people want to have or anything, even the marijuana and tobacco and alcohol, all of those are mood changers. And I if you want, you could call every one of them pharmakia. So we have the indicators of what is going to happen, and then we have the people who are speaking out. And I said, the American archaeologist Ron Wyeth, oh, he had an amazing set of discoveries. Now, he did pass away a few years ago, but his testimony is still available online. And we can look at that because, oh, it's at least interesting to me. You know, we do have to figure out for ourselves what might be coming our way. And we have indicators, and the indicators line up so much to me that they become truth. And these indicators that Ron Wyeth has discovered and talked about are indicators that show to me truth of the Bible's truth and about these being the end days. He was a man who made about 40 trips to Israel and the Middle East, and he set out to show that the Bible was true in an archaeology way, because he was an archaeologist. And he discovered a lot of things, and he mapped out Noah's Ark, for instance, in Turkey, and he investigated Sodom and Gomorrah and showed proof of that. He matched up the rock that Moses struck, and water came out. It's a broken rock, and it sure looks like it. It follows the right time frame of the Bible and everything. So there's things that make sense in a physical way in the world. Another thing he did was he found the chariot wheels at the Dead Sea crossing site. Those chariot wheels were under the Red Sea. So there's discoveries that are just plain important, and the most important one is the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, in a cavern that was located where there were the three crosses are indicated to have been there, because there were three holes in the rock which were for the crosses to set into. And now here's the amazing part. The amazing part is there is a crack from where the crosses were located, and it went down into the bedrock, and this is what Ron Wyeth discovered, was there was a chamber that was also evident. He investigated that chamber, and that's where he found the Ark of the Covenant. Now, on the Ark of the Covenant was a substance which was dark, and he took the substance to a blood lab in Jerusalem, and he asked them to reconstitute the blood, and they did. It took them a while, a couple of weeks, and when he went back, the people there said, "This is impossible. It cannot be. All human blood contains 48 strands of DNA, and this blood has only 24. In other words, it was not from a mother and father, which would be 48, but there were only 24. And therefore, it would indicate that it was Mary's DNA only, and none of God's. Now, I know this is a mystery. It's something which we either believe or we don't. And there's plenty of testimony to share and to show of the work that Ron Wyeth did in Jerusalem in the Middle East. What are we going to believe? Do we believe that this is God's blood, Christ, or do we not? This discovery of Ron Wyeth in a cavern under the location where the three cross holes were was witnessed by the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. But none of Ron Wyeth's photography turned out. He photographed the discovery of the Ark of the Covenant and it's where it was, but none of the photographs turned out. How mysterious that was. Well, questions. Do we believe it or do we not believe it? Well, Wyatt describes how he once quietly prayed about why these discoveries were coming about right at that time. And he had a stirring in his spirit, which you could call an answer to his prayer. And it was that now the time was getting so close to the end of time, the end of the age, that these discoveries would be shown to the world and the people would have a choice of if they believed them or if they did not believe them. Now today there is so much information and evidence of God, of the things that have happened in the Bible, and we are in a position where we have to search out the information and determine if we believe something or not. What is true and what is not? Well, you may have a little more time to try to look this up yourself and seek God and ask Him what is true and what is not true. And when we know the truth of Jesus and the truth of the Bible, then we can spend eternity in heaven and not hell. The information is available, and we can ask for God to show each one of us the truth as we look for it. Now, salvation is a beautiful thing, and I hope that you tell others about Jesus and pray and you pray and you pray. And we never know how long it will be that any of us has to be alive until the actual end of this age occurs. Well, I just touched on the surface of what was going on with the archaeology in Egypt and the things that are either true or not true of the Bible. And I can only encourage you and everyone else to look for yourself as you say a little prayer to God and ask Him to show you the truth of the events of the day and of the Bible and of Jesus. Well, all these things are they're going on, and I think there are questions that we all will have. If you want to listen to anything else on this broadcast of Christ Today, you can certainly do that by going to this broadcast on March 7th, and you can go back a few minutes. I suppose it would be to minute 45 or minute 35, and you can look up some of the same information again and get the names and the locations if you want and search it out. Because it is important that each one of us choose Jesus while we are alive and while we can. And then it is important to live like you mean your choice. Well, I do suggest that we all prepare spiritually, and I also suggest that we prepare physically because it looks like the times are going to get a little difficult. And so we want to have some spiritual food and physical food to eat. And if you would like a copy of my preparedness pamphlet, it is written to help you with ideas, and it is free. And if you would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I'll send that back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I'll send that right back to you. So let us remember to pray for everyone. Pray for one another. Pray that we know the truth of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm always glad for any financial donations. They are very much appreciated, and it does keep these radio broadcasts going, and I certainly do need help with that. So, in all these coming days, I pray for you, and I pray that you will walk with God, and that God will walk with you. God bless you.